Everybody been blessed?
Amen.
God had been just as much God let us go to hell. But He sure has been good to us. I'm thankful for it. We sure are undeserving, aren't we? We try to get real spiritual and we try to say, Lord, thank You for loving me when I was unlovable. I don't know if you've looked around lately, but we're not very lovable now.
Amen.
But yet He still loves us. If you will, find your place, Matthew chapter number 27. Well, you're turning there. Let me say it's an honor to get to preach tonight. An honor to get to stand in this place. And I love these people. Thank You for what You do for my family and I as we try to travel and do God's will. Thank You so much for Your compassion. What You do for us. Amen. Matthew chapter 27, verse number 45 reads, Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land to the ninth hour. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Verse number 51, And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. The earth did quake, and the rocks rent. The graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Verse 54, Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Our Father, I thank You, Lord, for the Word of God. I thank You, Lord, for Calvary. I thank You, God, for what You did in our place on that hill. Lord, I thank You for the blood. I thank You for the good Holy Ghost that lives within us. Lord, it's good to be saved. Good to be in Your family tonight. Lord, now we need Your help for just a little while. I pray, God, that You'd give us that it takes to make preaching. Lord, let us preach beyond ourselves. Lord, let us look into the Word of God. Lord, I pray that You'd open it up before us. Open our heart to Your Word, Lord. I pray, God, You'd put a guard in my mouth. Lord, let Holy Ghost preaching pour off these lips for just a little while. I pray now, God, if there's a sinner in the house who's never fallen under conviction, Lord, that tonight would be the night, God, that You'd deal with their heart, save them by Your grace. Lord, there's ones left here this morning under deep Holy Ghost conviction. They're back tonight. Lord, I pray, dear God, that You'd be merciful to them. And, Lord, open the door yet again and let them get into the family tonight, I pray. Stir saints, revive us again, Lord. Do what You will among us. Whatever You do, we'll take our hands off the glory and turn it all back to You. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Verse number 33 of the verse said they were of the chapter said when they were come to a place called Golgotha, that is the place of the skull. Luke's gospel records they were come to a place called Calvary. That is the only time in our King James Bible the word Calvary is mentioned. But don't let that make you too nervous. Amen. The word Bible's not in the Bible. And the word rapture's not in the Bible. But honey, you can rest assured, just as sure as there was a Calvary, there is a Bible. Amen. And there will be a rapture, thank God. One of these days, we're checking out of here and we're going to a better country. Why are we leaving, preacher? Because of what we've read tonight. Amen. Thank God. Don't let it make you nervous that Calvary's only mentioned one time. It only took one Calvary to take care of the sin debt of all the human race for all eternity. Amen. Hey, thank God. I'm glad God loved us enough that He sent His only Son to die on Calvary. Amen. He stepped through the walls of a virgin maiden headed for Calvary. Amen. He was born in a manger in Bethlehem stable headed for Calvary. They left Him at the temple at 12 years old and He confounded the doctors and law headed for Calvary. Every breath He took, every step He took was headed for a place called Calvary. Thank God, a theologian one time said, one who thought he was a scholar, and there are really no scholars, a scholar is an expert on a subject. We have no experts, but thank God we got a few students. Amen. A scholar once said if Jesus had played His cards right, He'd have not had to go to Calvary. I got two problems with that. Jesus probably didn't play cards. But number two, He lived on time. He was born on time. He came to this world on time. Thank God. God, He lived on time. He died on time. He got up on time. And one of these days, glory to God, He's coming back on time. I'm thankful today we don't serve a God who stumbled upon Calvary as if it were some accident. Thank God, as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, He came and went to Calvary. Amen. There they crucified Him. If Jesus was who He said He was, if He was truly the Son of God, there'll be some proof in His death on Calvary. And let me say, certainly there is. I want to talk to you tonight on some things God touched from Calvary. Some things God touched from Calvary. Let's look number one, verse number 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. Let me say first of all, from Calvary Jesus reaches out and touches the sun, and that speaks of pardon. Amen. How does that speak of pardon? You'll say with me just a minute. Amen. I'll tie it all together. Thank God. Look here, from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. That's the hours of noon, right in the middle of the day to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The students of the Bible say that somewhere between 3 and 3:30 in the afternoon is when Jesus died. And the lights were out from noon until 3 o'clock. Can you imagine being right in the middle of the day, having to go hunt a candle just so you see to get through the house, folks looking out the windows and wondering what's taking place, what's going on, what's happening. They're lighting lamps and cannot see their way. The scientists have tried to say that that was an eclipse, but have learned that the longest eclipse in history was 7 minutes long. But for 3 long hours on Calvary, thank God, the whole land, the lights went out. It was dark. Amen. One preacher said, only an eternal God could suffer an eternal hell in 3 short hours. I'll say amen. What was happening while the lights were out? I'm not real sure, and you're not probably either. But let me say this. It was way too holy for you and I to behold. Amen. Between heaven and hell, Jesus was a hanging. Between God and man, there was a God-man. Jesus was dying on a tree and doing something for lost sinners. Hey, sinner friend, look up here. He suffered all of the darkness of hell, all of the pain of hell, all of the suffering of hell in 3 hours on a tree. And He did it just for you. Amen. How does that speak of pardon? He'd have been just as much God to have never turned the lights back on again. Amen. Can you imagine what a mess we'd have been in had the sun never shone again? What a mess we'd be in. Were we not getting the light and the heat from the sun? Existence would have stopped. But He'd have been just as much God had He never let the sun shine again. They say the sun's about 10,000 degrees on the surface. It's almost 865,000 miles in diameter, makes up 98% of the weight of this solar system. And almost as if it were a candle, Jesus reaches out from Calvary and just snuffs it out. Amen. Thank God. You better remember He stepped past a whole generation of angels when He came to die for us. Angels fell in sin just like man did, but He didn't give them a way back to God. He created hell for the devil and his angels. But thank God, as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world, He knew we'd mess up. He knew we'd fall in sin. And Jesus said, "Father, I'll go. I understand what they're saying. I understand what you're saying when you sing, 'A search was made over heaven, and I'll shout with you.' But I don't believe there's a whole lot of searching. If there was much searching, it ended right here." Amen. He looked right to His right hand, and there was a lamb, as it were, slain. Thank God, from the very foundation of the world, before Adam ever drew his first breath. Oh, thank God. You say that sounds kind of Calvinistic. Oh, no. Thank God, I'm glad I serve a sovereign God who knew I'd get in a mess long before I ever did. Amen. He'd have been just as much God to have done to us the same thing He did to the angels. Created hell. Pushed them off into hell. Said, "You've got no hope, no way back to me." You better remember, man's created a little lower than the angels. Oh, but thank God, He stepped past all those angels. Said, "Look at here, Adam's race. I love you this much. I'll lay down on a tree, on a hill called Calvary, and give every drop of my blood." Thank God, it didn't take just one drop. It took every drop. Amen. If one drop would have worked, He could have pricked His finger. But every drop of His life's blood, He shed on Calvary and gave for us so that we could have a pardon. Amen. Touch the Son. That speaks of pardon. Aren't you glad we don't have to stand before God with all the filth that we inherited from Adam? All the filth and all of the sin that we were guilty of before we got saved. Aren't you glad when that judgment day comes and we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we'll step up and thank God. When God looks at us, He'll see the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. He'll see that we've been pardoned from our sin. Amen. Aren't you glad? Thank God, we're not guilty anymore. We can be presented, the Bible said, blameless before God. How is that, preacher? Because, thank God, no matter how dark it got, no matter how dingy it was, no matter how dreary it was, thank God, all the darkness hell had, I couldn't prevent 3 o'clock from coming. Hallelujah. I'm feeling about like preaching. All the darkness the devil had to offer, Brother David couldn't keep 3 o'clock from coming around. And Jesus looks back toward the sun and blows on it and ignites the fire again. Hey, Christian, we may be living in a dark day. It may be dingy. It may seem like you can't see to get around. But honey, all of hell, it can't prevent rapture from coming. It can't prevent, hallelujah, all of hell. I couldn't prevent Sunday from coming. When Jesus was in the grave, He wouldn't stay dead. And thank God, He won't stay gone. Touch the Son. That speaks of pardon. Let me say number two. In verse number 51, first part of the verse there, He touched the sanctuary. That speaks of passage. "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, from the top to the bottom." It didn't say from the bottom to the top. That veil is 4 inches thick, what most commentators agree. As thick as the breadth of a man's hand. A team of oxen couldn't rip that veil. And on that veil is embroidered that cherubim with that sword. That cherubim stands there. That veil hangs between the holy place and the holy of holies. In that holy of holies, that's where the Shekinah glory of God shines in. That's where the Ark of the Covenant is. That's where that mercy seat is. That's where them two angels are over that place of gold. Hey, that's where the blood was sprinkled. And for one day a year, and for just a prescribed amount of time, could that high priest enter in and come behind the veil. He had to bring blood with him. He couldn't come in without blood. Once he got in there, he couldn't say a word. He had to take care of business. Matter of fact, he'd take his coat off and lay it aside. Had bales all around the bottom of it. And if he wasn't clean, if there was sin on him, when he stepped behind that veil, God would kill him. He had a rope around his ankle. They'd drag him out of there. Amen. But when they heard the bells ringing and they saw the glowing, thank God, they knew God had accepted their sacrifice. Amen. That's under the Jewish economy. That's Old Testament economy. But thank God when Jesus gave up the ghost, the death of the testator came and we changed from the old to the new. Is everybody all right? Amen. Isn't it amazing? Jesus dies on Passover week on the very day of atonement. Amen. When else would you expect a lamb to die? Hallelujah. Wouldn't it be just about like our God, Brother Ken, as that priest is approaching that veil and about to stick his hand in and move it aside, that something happens and from the top to the bottom it rips in two and he's standing there open to the holy place, open to the holy of holies, got blood in his hand, and wondering, what in the world do I do now? Amen. You remember I said it had a cherubim on it. When Adam sinned, God put that cherubim at the garden with that flaming sword of fire and separated God and man. That's what that veil did. It separated God from man. Only one man could go in. I'm feeling... Whoa, thank God, on Calvary, Jesus reaches out to the sanctuary, catches hold of that veil, rips it into what had stood there for 1,000 or more years, and told those Jews, keep out, don't come in here, you're not welcome, you can't come in. Jesus rips open on Calvary and says, come on in. Whoa, thank God, you come on in and sit down. You don't have to be silent any longer, Brother David. We'll talk about what you want to talk about. And as far as that blood, thank God, you don't have to bring blood with you. I got enough of my own blood. Amen. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad, Brother Mike, we don't have to go sit in some closet with a man dressed like a woman. Can't even wear his collar straight. Got his collar on backwards. Amen. And don't believe him getting married on top of all that. Sit in there and tell him all that we've done. And hope that he don't forget anything. Oh, thank God. That's Old Testament ways. That's the Old Testament economy. The Old Testament's all about a place. You had to get to Canaan. Thank God the New Testament's all about a person. It's Christ. Hallelujah. Thank God I don't have to go with the blood of bulls and goats. I don't have to take doves, turtle doves. I don't have to go in that holy place with blood. There's enough blood of Jesus there already. And we can go in and sit down and have an audience with the very King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Touched the Son, spoke of pardon. He touched the sanctuary that spoke of passage and prayer. Aren't you glad when that veil ripped? It didn't rip from bottom to top as man trying to climb his way to God. Look up in here, sinner. You couldn't get to God if you wanted to. Some places I go, they'd label me right there as a Calvinist. Hey, salvation is of the Lord. Ain't that what the Bible said? It starts with Him. It is His idea, by the way. He makes the first move toward us. And then, hey, them Calvinists fall out with me right here. You got to make that response. Everything in Christian life, everything you are as a child of God is based on a response. Amen. If you're saved, you responded to the Word of God and the will of God and the Spirit of God. If you've done anything for God since then, it's because you have responded. Amen. Amen. You can't just get saved whenever you want to. Oh, I think I'll just sow my wild oats and do what I want to. Now I'll go talk to God on my terms. Honey, you'll burn in hell for all eternity. God help. You better come to the clinic while the clinic's open. Amen. And get you some help and get the sin washed off of you. Get you a heart transplant while the doctor's in. Amen. Touch the Son that spoke of pardon. Touch the sanctuary that spoke of passage. The last part of that verse, let me say, He touched the stones that speaks of provision. Look there at the end of the verse. And the earth did quake and the rocks rent. When Jesus gave up the ghost, cried, "It's finished." He cried, "It's finished," so loud every angel in heaven heard Him. Every demon headed for hell heard Him. And every sinner that'll ever be born heard Him. Said, "It is finished." Amen. What's finished? That Old Testament economy. That Old Testament way. The sacrifice, the substitutions, the atonement. It's all done. Thank God. Our sins are not covered for 1 year. Amen. Those Old Testament saints had their sins covered for a period of 1 year. Amen. But thank God, our sins are not covered. Our sins are not masked. Our sins are not overlaid with blood. I've not been painted with blood. Honey, I've been washed with blood. How is it you take a heart that's black with sin, wash it with red blood and make it white as snow? I can't quite figure all that out, but thank God I'm glad I experienced it. Amen. He touched the stones. Now if we went back to the book of Exodus, we'll find God came to another mountain. Came to Mount Sinai. And He spoke there with Moses. And in essence, He told Moses, "You set up barriers. Don't let the people come up here. I'll talk to you and you talk to them. And I'll give you the law. You give them the law. And the common people, nobody else can come up here. Nobody else can come up and talk to me." God gave him the law. God spoke to Moses. God gave out everything that man needed. And then what happened? The Bible said in the book of Exodus, the earth did quake. Amen. The earth began to shake under their feet. Amen. Aren't you glad that wasn't the last mountaintop experience? And that wasn't the last earthquake. Hallelujah. We fast forward now to Calvary. Jesus comes and gives not law but grace. And when He's done, guess what happens? The earth goes to shaking underneath. Hallelujah. You know what I think that was, Brother David? I think that's Calvary answering back to Sinai and said, "You say death, but I say life. You say condemnation, I say liberation." Anybody with me tonight? Thank God where Sinai left us Gentiles out. Calvary said, "I'll take whosoever will. Let him come and drink of the fountain of the water of life." Amen. Hallelujah. Sinai, You said law, but I say grace. By the way, the only way we could go from Mount Sinai to Mount Zion is if we go by Calvary. Amen. Thank God. And then the rocks rent. And they say, geologically speaking, and I'm not even sure if I know what that word means, but amen. Geologically speaking, every formation of rocks on this planet has a series of cracks in it. Every single one. If any of you have ever done any earth work or any dirt work, you know, you get in those rocks and there's cracks in them. And those cracks, that's where the water travels underground. And that's where if you drill a well, you drill down. And if you hit one of those cracks, you found water. And if you don't, you could drill and drill and because of the expense of pipe, never find water. I used to pastor a well driller, and I asked him one time, I said, how you find water? How you know where to set that drill rig down? He said, were it not for the limitation of our drill rig and for the expense of pipe, here's what he said, you could drill anywhere you wanted to on this planet, and eventually you'd hit water. I said, well, hallelujah. So how do you know where to... I thought he was going to tell me about them sticks he hold and the crossover. I figured some of y'all know. Amen. I thought he'd tell me about some high-tech device that you go out, drive in the ground, maybe find water. He said you take all that and throw it away. He said you might drill right here and drill and drill and drill. And because you reach the end of the limitation of the drill rig, not find water. But he said you might move over. I'm feeling a little God on this. Just far enough so this well wouldn't cave off into that well, and drill and you might find water. Here is his word. Words, not mine. It's just by grace that you find water. I said, hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm glad the drill rig of heaven sat down in my soul and drilled and give me a drink of water. Thank God that took place on Calvary. When you go home tonight, you turn that spigot on. You get you a good cool glass of water and it cools your hot throat. You can thank God for Calvary. Right there's where you got to walk. But the rock in the earth ain't the only rock that was cracked. The rock of ages was hanging between God and man. When they came by to break his legs, Brother Randall, he is already dead and there wasn't no need to break his legs. And they took that spear and they pierced his side. And out came the blood and the water. Thank God. Let whosoever will. It's finished. It's done. I'm Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. Let whosoever will come and drink of the fountain of the water of life freely. When they pierced the rock of ages and that water poured out. Aren't you glad Baptist has got it right? The blood and the water come together. Somebody say amen right there. I'm not talking about being filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about being baptized with the Holy Ghost. That happens at the moment of salvation. Is everybody all right? I'm baptized into Him when I take sides with Him against myself. Amen. Hey, thank God I'm in Him. He's in me. That's a double seal. And there ain't nothing ever demon in hell could do about it. Matter of fact, they may try, but they're outnumbered 2-1. Amen. It was only a third of the angels that fell with Satan. Thank God God's got 2 for every 1 He's got. Hey, thank God them demons may try to gnaw on us. Woo, but thank God I got 1. 1 John 4:4 still in the Bible. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. He touched the stones. It speaks of provision. Aren't you glad He can give us a drink for our thirsty souls? Touch the sun, that speaks of pardon. Touch the sanctuary, that speaks of passage. Touch the stones, that speaks of provision. Let me say He touched the sepulchres. That speaks of His power. Verse number 52, and the graves were opened. Many bodies, not 1 or 2, of the saints which slept arose. These are Old Testament saints. These are saints, obviously, who have died prior to Jesus dying. We don't know how long they've been dead, but they're dead. We don't know how dead they are, to what degree they are dead, but they're dead. Amen. And there was so much virtue in Jesus. Is anybody with me tonight? There was so much power hanging in the midst of the air on Calvary's hill. Thank God that when He gave up His life, when life left Him, there's so much power around that them down at the graveyard went to getting up. Amen. Thank God, aren't you glad? No matter how dead you might have been 5 years old and not stinking and rotten yet,
or you may be 55 or 85 and dead and rotten to the core. But thank God there's enough of power at Calvary. I said there's enough power on Calvary's hill that He'll reach from the guttermost to the uttermost, and He can save those that are dead in sin. Can you see them centurions? When them dead folks go to getting up, what in the world's taking place? What's happening? Didn't we put them to death? Didn't we see their funeral procession went by here a couple of years ago with him? He was dead. What's he doing alive? Thank God some of that old crowd probably said that about me. Oh, we saw him in his dead condition. We saw him in his not living, in his dead in sin and trespasses in sin. We saw him in that condition where he was headed for eternal death, eternal damnation, eternal separation, eternal condemnation, where he was headed for what in the world? What's happened to him? Thank God, I'll say it was a power that was on Calvary's tree that'll take a dead sin. By the way, the only way a dead sinner could ever be made alive is if a living Savior were put to death. Thank God, I'm glad He laid down on the tree and suffered and died for you and me. Gave His last blood so that we could be made alive. Amen. He touched the Son that speaks of pardon. Touched the sanctuary that speaks of passage. Touched the stones that speaks of provision. Touch the sepulchres, speaks of power. I'll give you one more. By the way, there are five things that are touched here. And isn't five the number of grace? All of grace is my story, all the way from earth to glory. Thank God, aren't you glad by grace Calvary took place? Number five, he touched a soldier. That speaks of his purpose. Preachers, it ought if she comes and starts playing. Sis, if you don't mind, would you find you something, start playing. Touch the soldier. And that speaks of his purpose. They say those Romans had punishment down to an art form. And I can see that soldier as he reports for duty that morning. And the commanding officer, Brother Troy, says, "We've got one today that claims he's a king." You know how us Romans feel about kings. We're going to show him. There is no king other than Caesar. Oh, and he said, no doubt that commanding officer says, "You do to him whatever you want to within the confines of the law. You be as rough as you want to be on him. We aim to prove to this world that he's not a king." They take him to Gabbatha and they scourge him. History tells us that many of the prisoners never lived beyond Gabbatha, that place of the beating. I'm sorry, the artists don't have it right. The artist's rendition of Calvary is not accurate. Jesus was not some man hanging with a loincloth and some sawbriars around his head and a few whips along his side. Jesus died a very bloody death. His insides, no doubt, were hanging on the outside of his body. You say, that's gory and that's nasty. That's what Jesus did for you. According to the prophecy, not one bone was broken, but every one of them was out of joint. He was hanging there. Isaiah said, chapter 52, I believe it's somewhere about verse 14, his visage was so marred more than men. His visage, that's his visual image. That's how you tell the difference person to person. That's those distinguishing characteristics. Isaiah said, what he's saying in chapter 52, had you climbed Calvary's hill that day, Brother Mike, you wouldn't even have recognized Jesus. They ripped his beard from his face. Can you imagine the swelling and the bleeding? They took those thorns. We're talking 3-inch poisonous thorns that they planted that crown, laid it on his head,
took a reed and drove it down onto his head. And those poisonous thorns pierced the skin. And his face swelled beyond recognition. You couldn't even have told who he was had you not known. Matter of fact, they hung a sign over his head, "This is the King of the Jews," to identify. He was in such bad shape, he had to have some identification. But Isaiah didn't stop there. He said not only was his visage so marred more than anyone, his form more than the sons of men. His form, that's how you tell the difference, preacher, in a human being and some dog. That's the outline. Isaiah literally is saying, Jesus, if you'd have climbed Calvary's hill, not only would you not have known who he was, you wouldn't even have been able to tell that he was a human. That's the brutality of Calvary. Why did he do that, preacher? So he could look down and say, "I love you. Won't you come? Come to my house."